Chapter 4. Zanzibar. The storm that had closed over the island in the early morning hours had moved on by dawn, leaving the air crisp and the foliage around their bungalow glistening with dew. Sam and Remy sat on the rear porch overlooking the beach and shared a meal of fruit, bread, cheese, and strong black coffee. In the trees around them, hidden birds squawked. Suddenly a pinky-sized gecko scaled the leg of Remy's chair and skittered across her lap and onto the table, where it navigated the dishes before retreating down Sam's chair. "Wrong turn, I guess," Sam remarked. "I have a way with reptiles," Remy said. They shared one more cup of coffee, then cleaned up, packed their backpacks, and walked down to the beach, where they'd grounded the cabin cruiser. Sam tossed their backpacks over the railing, then gave Remy a boost. "Anchor," she called.
"Coming."
Sam squatted beside the auger-shaped beach anchor, wriggled it free, then handed it up to Remy. She disappeared, and he could hear her feet padding along the deck, and then a few seconds later the engines growled to life and settled into a sputtering idle.
"Slow back," Sam called.
"Slow back, aye," Remy replied.
When Sam heard the propeller begin to churn, he leaned hard against the hull, dug his feet into the wet sand, coiled his legs, and shoved. The boat eased back a foot, then another, then floated free. He reached up, snagged the lowermost railing with his hands, then swung his legs up, hooked his heel on the gunwale, and climbed aboard.
"Chumbe Island?" Remy called through the open pilot house window.
"Chumbe Island," Sam confirmed. "Got a mystery to solve."
They were a few miles northwest of Prison Island when Sam's satellite phone trilled. Sitting on the afterdeck, sorting through their gear, Sam picked up the phone and pressed talk. It was Selma.
"Good news, not so good news," she said.
"Good news first," Sam said.
"According to Tanzania's Ministry of Natural Resources regulations, the spot where you found the bell is outside sanctuary boundaries. There is no reef there, so no protection necessary."
"And the not-so-good news?"
"Tanzanian maritime salvage law still applies. No extraordinary excavation methods. It's a gray area. But it sounds like you're going to need more than ping-pong paddles to free that bell. I've got both Pete and Wendy looking into the permit process. Discreetly, of course."
Boyfriend and girlfriend Pete Jeffcoat and Wendy Corden, tan and fit, blonde Californians with degrees in archaeology and social sciences, respectively, worked as Selma's apprentices.
"Good," Sam said. "Keep us posted."
After a brief stop at the Stonetown docks to refuel and gather the day's provisions, it took another leisurely 90 minutes cruising down the coast and picking their way through the channels of Zanzibar's outer islands before they reached the bell's GPS coordinates. Sam went forward and dropped anchor. The air was dead calm and the sky a cloudless blue. As Zanzibar sat just below the equator, July was during winter rather than summer, so the temperature wouldn't climb above the low 80s. A good day for diving. He hoisted the white stripe-on-red diver-down flag on the halyard, then joined Remy on the afterdeck.
"Tanks or snorkel?" she asked.
"Let's start with snorkel."
The bell was sitting in 10 feet of water.
"Let's get a good look at what we're up against, then regroup."
As it had been the day before and was 90% of the time in Zanzibar, the water was stunningly clear, ranging in shade from turquoise to indigo. Sam rolled backward over the gunwale, followed a few seconds later by Remy. Together they hung motionless on the surface for a few seconds, letting the cloud of bubbles and froth dissipate, then flipped over and dove. Once they reached the white sand bottom, they turned right and soon reached the lip of the bank, where they performed another pike dive and followed the vertical face to the bottom. They stopped, knelt in the sand, and jammed their dive knives into the bottom to use as handholds. Ahead they could see the edge of the goodbye zone. The previous night's storm had not only ramped up the current in the main channel,
but had also churned up a lot of debris, so thick it looked like a solid gray-brown wall of sand. This at least would keep the sharks away from the shallows. The downside was they could feel the draw of the current from where they hovered. Sam tapped his snorkel and jerked his thumb upward. Remy nodded. They finned for the surface and broke into the air. "You feel that?" Sam asked. Remy nodded. "Felt like an invisible hand was trying to grab us." "Stick close to the bank." "Got it." They dove again. On the bottom, Sam checked the readout on his GPS unit, oriented himself, then pointed south down the bank and signed to Remy, 30 feet. Resurfacing, they swam that way in single file, Sam in the lead, one eye on the GPS, one eye on his position. He stopped again and pointed an index finger down. Where the bell had jutted from the bank, there was now nothing but a barrel-shaped crater. Anxiously, they scanned left and right. Remy saw it first, a curved indentation in the bottom, 10 feet to their right, connected to another indentation by a curved line like a sidewinder's trail. The pattern repeated. They followed it with their eyes until 20 feet away, they saw a dark lump jutting from the sand. It was the bell. It took little imagination to piece together what had happened. Throughout the night, the storm-driven waves had scoured the bank, slowly but steadily eroding the sand around the bell until it tumbled from its resting place. From there, the surge had rolled the bell along its mouth, physics, erosion, and time doing their work until the storm passed. Sam and Remy turned to each other and nodded excitedly. Where Tanzanian law had forbidden them to use extraordinary excavation methods, Mother Nature had come to the rescue. They swam toward the bell but had only covered half the distance when Sam reached out a halting hand to Remy's arm. She had already stopped and was staring ahead. She'd seen what he'd seen. The bell had come to a stop at the lip of the precipice, with the waist, shoulder, and crown embedded in the sand, and the sound ring and mouth jutting into empty space. Back on the surface, they got their breath. Remy said, "It's too big." "Too big for what? To move?" "No. To belong to the speaker." Sam considered this. "You're right. I didn't notice." The speaker's displacement was listed as 450 tons. According to standard measures for the era in question, her bell wouldn't have weighed more than 60 pounds. Their bell was bigger than that. "Curiouser and curiouser," Sam said. "Back to the boat. We need a plan." They were 10 feet from the boat when they heard the rumble of diesel engines approaching from behind. They reached the ladder and turned around to see a Tanzanian Coast Guard gunboat 100 yards away. Sam and Remy climbed onto the Andreas afterdeck and shed their gear. "Smile and wave," Sam murmured.
"Are we in trouble?"
Remy whispered through her smile.
"Don't know. We'll soon find out." Sam continued waving.
"I've heard Tanzanian jails are unpleasant."
"Every jail is unpleasant. It's all relative." 30 feet away, the gunboat came about and drew parallel to them, bow to stern. Sam now saw it was an upgraded 1960s-era Chinese Yulin-class patrol boat. They saw Yulins several times on each of their trips, and Sam, ever interested, had done his homework. 40 feet long, 10 tons, 3-shaft, 2 600-horsepower diesel engines, and a pair of twin 12.7-millimeter deck guns fore and aft. 2 sailors in jungle fatigue stood on the afterdeck, and 2 more on the forecastle. All bore shoulder-slung AK-47s. A tall black man in crisp whites, clearly the captain, stepped from the cabin and walked to the railing.
"Ahoy!" he called.
Unlike Sam and Remy's previous encounters with the Coast Guard, this captain was grim-faced. No welcoming smile or pleasantries.
"Ahoy!" Sam replied. "Routine safety check. We will board you now."
"Be our guest."
The gunboat's engines gurgled, and the Yulin angled closer until its bow was 10 feet away. The engines went back to idle, and the Yulin glided to a stop beside them. The sailors on the after deck tossed tire bumpers over the side, then reached down, grabbed the Andreal's railing, and pulled the boats together. The captain vaulted over the railing and landed cat-like on the Andreal's after deck beside Sam and Remy.
"You are flying the diver flag, I see," he said.
"Doing a little snorkeling," Sam replied.
"This boat is yours?"
"No, a rental."
"Your papers?"
"For the boat?"
"And diving certificates?"
Remy said, "I'll get them," then trotted down the steps into the cabin. The captain asked Sam, "What is your purpose here?"
"On Zanzibar or here specifically?"
"Both, sir."
"Just on vacation. This seemed like a nice spot. We were here yesterday."
Remy returned with the documents and handed them to the captain, who first examined the rental agreement, then their diving certificates. He looked up and studied their faces.
"You are Sam and Remy Fargo?"
Sam nodded.
"The treasure hunters?"
Remy said, "For lack of a better term."
"Are you hunting treasure on Zanzibar?"
Sam smiled. "That's not why we came, but we try to keep our eyes open." Over the captain's shoulder, behind the tinted windows of the Yulin's cabin, Sam saw a shadowed figure. It appeared to be staring at them.
"Have your eyes seen anything on this visit?"
"A coin."
"You are aware of Tanzanian law regarding these matters?"
Remy nodded.
"We are."
From the Yulin, a knuckle rapped once on the window. The captain looked over his shoulder, said to Sam and Remy, "Wait here," then climbed back over the railing and stepped into the Yulin's cabin. He reappeared a minute later and jumped back down.
"The coin you have found, describe it."
Without hesitation, Remy said, "Round, copper, about the size of a 50-shilling piece. It's badly pitted. We haven't been able to make anything of it."
"Do you have it with you?"
"No," said Sam.
"And you say you are not hunting for any shipwrecks or specific treasure?"
"That's correct."
"Where are you staying on Zanzibar?"
Sam saw no point in lying. They would double-check the answer. "A bungalow on Kendwa Beach." The captain handed back their papers, then tipped his cap to them.
"Good day."
And then he was back over the rail and inside the Yulin's cabin. The gunboat's engines rumbled, the sailors pushed off, and the gunboat came about and steered west toward the channel. Sam took 2 long strides, ducked into the cabin, and re-emerged with a pair of binoculars. He lifted them to his eyes and trained them on the Yulin. After 20 seconds, he lowered the binoculars.
"What?"
Remy asked. There was someone in the cabin giving orders.
"The knock on the window," Remy said. "Did you get a look at him?"
Sam nodded. "Not black and not in uniform. He looked Hispanic, maybe Mediterranean. Thin, hawk nose, thick eyebrows."
"What kind of non-Tanzanian civilian would have the power to order about a Coast Guard gunboat and her crew?"
"Someone with deep pockets. As much as they loved Tanzania and Zanzibar and their people, there was no arguing that corruption was common. The majority of Tanzanians made a few dollars a day. Military personnel only slightly more. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though. Right now, we don't know anything."
"Just curious, Remy. Why'd you lie about the coin?"
"Gut reaction," Remy replied.
"You think I should have?"
"No. I had the same instinct. The Tanzanian Coast Guard has 2 Yulin gunboats to cover the central coast, the main channel, and Zanzibar. I got the impression they were specifically looking for us."
"Me too."
"And as safety checks go, that one was worthless. Didn't ask about life preservers, the radio, or our dive gear."
"And when was the last time we met a Tanzanian official that wasn't all smiles and geniality?"
Never, Sam replied. About the Adelie's coin. Remy unzipped the side pocket of her dive shorts, withdrew the coin, and held it up with a smile. That's my girl, Sam said.
You think they'll search the bungalow?
Sam shrugged.
So, put it all together, and what's it mean? Remy pondered.
No idea. But we're going to watch our step from here on out.